Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. It's your girl, Makeisha Clayton Lee. It's another Tuesday. It's the last Tuesday in 2020. So I personally want to tell each and every person that hear the sound of my voice that I pray that you have an amazing 2021. I know 2020 has been a crazy year for each and every one of us with all of the loss, with the COVID, the people losing their jobs, their homes. So I'm praying that 2021 will give us a different perspective and a different way that we can help each other, network with each other, to be a gap with each other. So I'm just praying that each person that's on the sound of my voice, that they will have a prosperity 2021. And thank you so much for listening to the Dumping Grounds the whole year. I have some major milestones. I was able to get up to 1,000 listens. And I just couldn't have done any of this without the support of the people who constantly listen to the shows and leave their comments. And I want to give you my heart and say thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. And enough about the mushy stuff. You know, I created this platform to be a listening ear, a safe place where you can dump off your problems and pick up some solutions. As you know, December, we had a series of Lady, What Is On Your Mind? Where we talked about relationships, dating in 2020, marriages, and that old situationship. Each week, I had a guest panelist who shared their tips and experience on the selected topic. My favorite quote is, do not despise small beginnings. I added, family, let's pray, create a vision, and complete some executed steps so we can leave a mark on the earth for generations to come. That's my prayer for us for 2021, that we pray, in January, everybody has this different resolution. I just pray that we have goals and take them bite-sized and execute them so we can leave a legacy for generations to come. Tonight, the plot thickens. it was, lady, what's on your mind? So, you know, me, I'm a type of person that thinks out of the box. Sometimes I am predictable. Sometimes I'm very spontaneous. So tonight is one of those moments where I put C4 in a box and blow it up. I think we as women, men and women are two different species. We all think different. And my guess is just one part of this male species that he's going to talk about his experiences with dating in 2020 during this pandemic. And I want him to share some tips. So how women can understand how men think, and they could take these tips and help them if they're looking for a guy for 2021 or whatever, they can kind of apply this wisdom into their life, and maybe that'll bring their knight in shining armor. Hey, who knows? Just knowledge that you can take with you and grow from. And we all need self-help, care, and knowledge. So this is an opportunity for you to engage in, to kind of hear his experience, because iron sharpens iron. So this is an opportunity for us to get sharpened tonight. So let me just read a little bit about this young man. His name is Nathan Todd. His friends call him T-Money, T-Dot, and Nate. He has so many different names. It's too funny to me. When I saw his bio, I was like, this is too funny. He's originally from Chicago, and he's lived in Georgia for 22 years. The good thing about this young man, he will be 50 in February on Super Bowl Sunday. He is a single father of two daughters with one granddaughter and one grandson due in March. He has two books that's process of completing to be published, and they're based on love and relationship. Now, this is the funny part to me. His life phrase is, I'm still handsome, so that's that. Life is all about creating energy for yourself. And if I think highly about myself, I don't have time to worry about other people's opinion. Let me read that one again. He said, my life, I am still handsome. So that's that. Life is all about creating energy for yourself. And if I think highly about myself, I do not have to worry about other people's opinions of me. He has two books. His book is Cantaloupe, Bearing the Fruits of My Soul, which is a book of poetry that he's written since he was 16 years old. And also, he has a short story book, In Lou's Life Happens. Tonight, Jumping Ground Family, my guest, Nathan Todd. The plot thickens with Nathan Todd. Mr. Todd, what's up?
Ms. Makeisha Clayton Lee, good afternoon. Good afternoon,
you know,
good evening. How you doing?
Hey,
listen, Coach pulled me off the bench, said, listen, I need you on the floor tonight, so here I am.
I need you on the floor, so you suited up, and you ready, you lock and loaded, you ready to go with
this?
You got it?
You know how I do, I got my Nikes on, I'm ready to go, Coach, what you need, what play you run?
Sir, I just want to say thank you so much for taking your time out of your busy day, blessing the Dumping Ground with your wisdom and your experience to be a safe, you trust me to have a safe place where you won't be judged and you can be vulnerable and authentic and be able to help somebody, because your experience can help somebody. Your test can, and that you had in your testimony can also help somebody else who's in that same position that they currently reside in that you overcame. So I just want you to just kind of like give us some experiences, you know, from your dating in 2020 with this pandemic. I know you say you're a single father of two. So kind of like help our women audience who's in the process of looking for a good man or king or somebody, who, you know, you're a king. You know,
yeah.
King.
Okay.
So,
I accept that crown. I'm about to tilt
it. Take your ownership, right? God made you to be a good man of God. He creates you to be a dominion over your kingdom. So you, it's nothing right but to have a queen beside you that can have that same royalty. So, but I want you to talk to the women who's at a place that probably like given up on dating. Like, I'm done with it. You know, I mean, not done. They're just,
Can't do it.
It's just been so bad that there is a point like, God, he's gonna have to come knocking at my door, which we know, unless he's UPS or FedEx or Amazon.
You know what? He may show up delivering Postmates. You know what I'm saying? He may show up delivering Postmates.
That's right. That's right. That's true. But go ahead and share some of your experience, Nate. Talk to the people. Let them know what's up.
You know what? For me, it's, and I guess to start from the beginning, I've always, as my mother always told me, I've always been fascinated with women. I don't know what that's all about. She says, when I was a kid, I was like maybe 2 or 3 years old. I would walk up to women in this grocery store and I would just start rubbing their leg or something like that. I always wanted to be held. So, but I get it probably from my dad, because that's who he is. And it's just one of those things where women and relationships have always fascinated me. Moving forward just a little bit, because of that fascination, if you want something, to me, you should understand what it is that you want. You should know everything about it. So I've always tried to know, pay attention to little things about women, their moods, their attitudes, the way they dress, the way they carry themselves. What do they look for in men? You know, what do they look for in a guy that holds her attention? What is this guy doing that I may not be doing that can help me get to the position in life that he's in? So you want to kind of mirror what you see as success. The problem is, because a lot of us, meaning men, our fathers were not around, some of the things that we learned were, a lot of it was by trial and error. So we made a lot of mistakes. And I, being one of those men, grew up making a lot of mistakes when it came to women, not knowing what was fact from fiction, not knowing, you know, this is just game. This isn't reality. This is not how you should talk to a woman or you should treat a woman. But when I had my first daughter, who was Brianna, she just turned 26. So when Brianna came, everything had to change. I couldn't be a thought. You know, I couldn't just be some guy running around doing whatever. And then when Nia came, which is my youngest, who just turned 23, I really had to get serious. As they said, you have to level up. So in that process, my mother told me, in order to raise your daughters to be the type of women that they should be, that they can contribute to society, what do you like about, what's the one thing that you know that you like? Use those things, those tools that I've taught you, and empower them with that information. So it's like I said again, something that I've always wanted or liked, which is women, and having two daughters, it's a real tough spot to be in sometimes. But you got to man up, you got to grow up. You know, you can't be that guy out there. I didn't want to be 50 years old in the club, but. Mm-hmm. I'm 50 and single, but I'm just not in the club. That's the difference.
Gotcha.
That's the difference.
So my question to you is, right now with the pandemic, where you know everybody just stay at home, and how are you dating? How are you doing? Are you doing virtual dating? Are you doing online dating? Like.
This has probably been the best time to date, because if you say that you're looking for something authentic or something real, this is the best time for me anyway, because previously in 2020, people could hide behind the busyness. You know, people hid behind text messages. Everybody's profile on their Facebook or their social media pages were perfect. So you didn't really talk to people. If we met, I could just take you out and we could have the greatest times in our lives, and I could hide behind people in the crowd and I didn't really have to say a lot to you, not anything meaningful. But during the pandemic, I can't hide behind a text message. I have to pick up the phone and actually call you. I'm going to have to talk to you and build a connection with you. And during that time, you're going to get to learn who a person is. Some people, you know, they do play the game well and they can hide a lot of who they are, but eventually the truth is going to come out, because if that's not who they are at the core, as my Aunt Doris says, who you are at the core is always going to be who you are. And that's not going to change. Whether you were 19, 29, or 49, who you are at the core is going to remain the same. So for me, dating in 2020 during the pandemic has actually been a lot of fun, because you get to be creative, and being a creative person, I can stretch myself. I can, you know, we can have a virtual date, but I have to put in time with you. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not, if this isn't working for me, it's easy to cut ties and just, you know, hey, listen, let's just be friends, or let's just not be anything and move on.
Right.
It's been a lot of fun.
So do you think with your generation, ghosting, you know, because like, yes, last week I talked to
ghosting. Been there.
Yeah.
Been there.
They're known for ghosting you. Like, I didn't know that that much ghosting goes on. I mean, so do you, like, in your age right now, like, is that part of, have you been ghost or anything like that?
Yeah, you would think that at this age and this stage that you would think at this age and this stage, ghosting is not part of the program, but it actually is, because people pick up bad habits, just like sending your kids to daycare. They come back home with all these bad habits. So you have people from my age group that are out here and they're picking up bad habits from their kids, use a lot of text lingo. They ghost people. And it's like, if you're not interested, just say you're not interested. It's totally okay. But, you know, I understand a lot of women have had adverse, you know, situations where they may not be interested in a guy and the guy flips out. He's calling them names. He's harassing them. But, you know, I have a mother, I have daughters, I have aunts and cousins, and I don't need that on my resume. So if you're not interested in me, I'm good, man. Somebody's daughter's going to think I'm cute. And I'm gonna move on. It's gonna be all right.
So
I'm going to be okay.
Go ahead, sir. That That so that goes that ties into your life phrase. I think that's that has to be your confidence for you to have that has to be not arrogance, but confidence in who you are and what you have to offer and what you have to give to be able to say, listen, I have to create the energy for myself. I can't. And once I think highly about myself, not in arrogance, not thinking that I'm better than anybody else, but I know who I am and whose I am. I don't have to worry about the other little small, minute stuff. You know what I'm saying? It rolls off my back like water. You know what I'm saying? So I thought that was pretty funny when I seen that.
for me, it's one of those things where it's like when I went through, I was married before, and then I'm divorced. I was married. We dated for 2.5 years, and we were married for 2.5 years. So I like to say I broke even. 2.5, 2.5, I broke even. So nothing gained, nothing lost. I mean, she's a great person, but we just didn't make that stick. But the phrase of, I'm still handsome, so there's that. For a while, it took me a minute to really get my feet back underneath me, because I felt like, man, 40 years old, I've waited long enough to get married, and it ended so abruptly. What is it about me that's not right? What is it at this age that I haven't done that other guys are married for 15, 20 years? You know, they've got committed relationships. I'm like, I have sneakers that I've owned longer than I was, had a relationship. And it felt sad to say, but the reality is a relationship takes two people. And if you're both not putting in the work, it's going to be one person being on a seesaw. It's going to always be down. It's never going to be even. That phrase comes from, attending, going to church and deepening my faith. It's like, hey, if God is with you, what else can be against you? So that's where that confidence comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It's steeped in my faith,
like that.
And I think that's really important to me.
Yeah, I remember when but tell you a story. I remember when because we worked together. And I remember when you came to my desk and you wanted to shadow, and because you wanted to get into our group, and how smart and how smart you was. But I gave you such a poker face that you had no clue, no idea, like, what was going on until, after the second time you came back. I was like, why are you here? Why did you come back? Like, you don't need to. You don't have to come back here. You're good.
Well, that's because the confidence wasn't there. I was still in that Jonah phase. So I was still in the belly of the beast. I was avoiding taking charge of what God had put me in charge of. Instead of going the direction that he was telling me to go, I was still trying to do my own thing. I'm going to be regular. I'm not going to be exceptional. I don't want people to know that I think this way or that I have these certain talents, because I don't want it to be a problem. I just want to be regular and just fit in.
But
that's
your name is Nathan, like the prophet.
Yeah.
But your name
exactly.
is Nathan,
Nathan
like
was a
prophet. So.
Yeah.
So there's nothing.
But again,
when you have a name, you can't be, when you are a child of God, you can't be average.
Anything
that's
else.
That's not in your DNA. I just thought never told you that, though. I never told you.
All right. Because when you said it, when I came to your desk, and he was like, why are you still here? And I was like, I don't know. They told me to come back. But, again, our friendship has developed over time. And, again, I can talk to you about anything. And this is one of those authentic relationships that I have cultivated.
Right.
Most of my friends I've had for years, I've been in Atlanta for 22 years. My oldest friend here is my buddy Ron Schaefer. I've been on him for 28 years, it's like all of my core friends, these are the people I know. If I go to them with any problem from dating to whatever, they're going to give me real advice. And that's, as a guy in the dating pool, you have to have that. Because as a man, you get a lot of bad advice. You know, the number one phrase a lot of guys will tell you when you break up with somebody is, the best way to get over one is to get underneath another one. And that's terrible advice. Mm-hmm. Because when you do that, you create a pool, a cesspool of misery. Because the first woman that you start talking to, you're not going to treat her right. And that's not hurt people hurt people. And that's not the way, you know, that's not what I was created for. So I was put here with a word to deliver this word, and that's why you have to live up to that expectation that God puts on you, because everybody's worth something. Everybody's valued some way.
Yeah. Correct.
And it takes a minute to really get to that understanding.
So you said for your experience with COVID and dating, you've been enjoying this.
You know what?
Experience.
I have.
Right?
My last relationship ended, 2 weeks before Thanksgiving last year. It was hard because I really felt like that one was going to be the one that would stick. Because one of my close friends, Indy, she was like, listen, this is what you do. You write down everything that you want. You put it underneath your pillow. You pray on it. And then you get rid of that. And everything that I wrote on that paper, he delivered everything to her. The problem was, life happens, and through other circumstances, our relationship just didn't cross that line. And I'm not, it hurt, but I don't hold a grudge or anything like that. I mean, we still talk, we still have a friendship. I think she's a hell of a person. The problem is, for me, I just need something more. I know that Adam's rib, I know it's out there. Cause that space, that space that every time I put on my hand on the side, I'm like, oh, there's that empty space. But it's going to get filled. I have no doubt about that. I have no doubt.
Right.
So it's 2020. So, it's been good.
So give me some tips. So you know, we work for a data company, right? That gives all data, data-driven, data.
Right.
So, right.
Data-driven.
Data-driven. That's our slogan.
Yeah.
So
data. Now, here's some data. I read an article some time ago that said there are, in the city of Atlanta, or in Atlanta, dating, it is 11 to 1. 11, for every one guy, there are 11 women. The problem, or the data that I personally collected, shows that it's really a 1-to-1, not an 11-to-1. By physical, if you look at the sheer, physical numbers, yes, there are probably 11 women by number. Daughters and women, to every man, it's 11-to-1. But when you're dating or you're looking for a relationship, it's not exactly 11-to-1. It's more like a 1-to-1.
Wow.
So data. Yeah. So here's some of the data. that I've pulled from my own little experiences. The first woman that you meet, she's in a relationship, which means that she's undateable. She could be married or she's seriously involved, but, you know, she's undateable for me. So she's off the list. Okay. The second one, unfortunately, is Atlanta has a high, you know, there are lesbians in Atlanta. Like everywhere.
Correct.
So those are women who date other women. So I'm competing with them. And if she's a lesbian, she doesn't want to date me. That's fine.
Correct.
So that's two. Number three is, trust me, I've been on a lot of dates. I've been out there. But number three would be someone who I like, but she may not like me. And then four is kind of the opposite. She likes me, but I'm not so much interested in her, so I guess you call that incompatible.
Right.
Then you meet the woman who has soul ties, meaning her past relationship hinders her from, you know, a future. She's stuck with this. She's hung up on this one guy who means the world to her, and you know, he's not so much treating her right, but she got a soul tied to this guy. She can't let him go, which means that you have no shot at actually moving forward in the relationship.
Right.
And number six would probably be the lady who is superficial or eye candy. There's no hope of a relationship. This is just a thought process.
Right.
So we just having a good time, but this is never going anywhere.
Right.
Number seven would be the one who won't commit because she's too busy or a career woman. It's all about getting to the next level for her, so she doesn't have time for a relationship. She can't commit to you. Number eight would be the home girl, would be the home girlfriend. We watch sports, we hang out, we kick it, but we just buddies. That's all this is gonna be. Yeah. You know what? Sometimes you get put in a friend zone and sometimes you just in the friend zone because that's just everybody that you meet is not someone you're gonna have a romantic relationship with. So that's number eight. Number nine would be Miss Independent, because she doesn't need a man. You know, no matter what I say and do, I don't need you. I can do my thing. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and I'm like, hey, I get it. I'm not the guy who's going to stand there and try to fight for your attention. If you want to be in the center of the attention of the chocolate boy writer, you gotta bring it down some. Yeah, the chocolate boy writer. That's my, yeah, I know. Number 10 will be someone that you're not even yoked with, either in views or values. If we don't have the same value system, we're not going to last. It'll go, but only so far. And then number 11 is just the one that I haven't met yet because I just haven't run into her. That's the one that I'm seeking. You know what I'm saying? Like Roy Ayers or Pete Rock or CL Smooth. That's what I'm searching for, but I haven't met her yet.
Oh my God! I was waiting for the music lyrics to kick in. That's
you
what,
know,
I knew it
you know, I'm full of you
I
know, I'm full of quotes
good.
And you know, I'm full of quotes and music ad libs.
You did almost 30 minutes without saying it. I was waiting for. I was like, nah, this ain't Nate. You've been saying about three quotes from music right now.
I'm glad I could deliver. You know, glad I could deliver.
You definitely put some icing on the cake for that one. So that makes sense because when I went to AskMan.com for 20 different ways to successfully find love in 2020, they kind of said, like, put yourself out there, like you said, to be authentic. Put yourself out there. Like, the dude, unless, you know, I understand we're in a pandemic or whatever like that, but at least make yourself dateable. You know what I'm saying? Take a class and educate yourself. And I think we, especially for women who came, you have to be whole. Like, in order to be in a healthy, any healthy relationship, you have to get some healing and get some wholesomeness within yourself. You need to become whole so you can bring your 100% A game and you can connect with somebody who got their 100% A game. So you don't be broken pieces together. You get what I'm saying? So educate yourself, getting a dating coach. You know what I'm saying? Or like we were talking about, get self-help books and dating relationship. Like I have a good book, The Relationship Girls by Michael Todd. Dude, that guy is so smart. Like,
a friend of mine mentioned that book to me last night during a conversation. She mentioned
that
exact
book
same book
so
to
good.
Me.
Dude. That book is so good, so good. Perform volunteer work, like get out of yourself, you know, get out there in the community and volunteer. Be open to finding love in different places. Ask people in your life to set you up. Now, that's the part that we were talking about last night when we were practicing. I was like, oh, I don't know about that. You was like, yeah, you need to do that so people can
Friends. Your friends are a great resource because if you have authentic friendships, the people that know you at the core, they know what you're looking for. They know what you are about, and they're going to put you in positions to be with like-minded people. And like I said, I've met a lot of good people, but some of my friends are like, nah, you don't need to talk to her. That ain't no good for you. You need to stay away from that. You know? And when I was going through my thought phase, they were like, yeah, I'm not introducing you to none of my friends because you're not going to be right.
So it goes
both ways. But once you learn that, you know what, once you're honest with yourself and you look the person in the mirror and say, you know what, this is who I want to be. This is what I need to get done. That's when you start to, you know, you rely on people that you know. Because, hey, listen, man, I'm not begging for a date, but they know, okay, I see what's in you. And God, as they say, he will go through, use other people to get you where you need to be at. But you have to be open and ready to receive that blessing. And if you're not, authentic friendships, they will say, nah, I can't give this to you right now because you're going to mess this up.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's and the other thing is you have to smile. Once you come to the conclusion that, you know what, I'm happy with the person in the mirror, learn to smile. Be nice to people.
Right.
Positivity attracts other positive people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remove the filter. You know, people, everybody wants to put up the perfect filter. I have no blemishes in my skin. You know, I want you to think I'm the perfect size. I used to work with a lady named Jennifer. And Jennifer was a plus size woman, okay? But Jennifer had the sexiest attitude. Her phrase was, I may not be a 10, but I am the 1.
Oh,
that phrase always stuck because she has so much confidence. Like, I don't have to be what everybody else is, but I am the 1. So, and you would look at her and you're like, okay. But she has so much confidence. So
and
that's, I kind of, you know, hooked into that phrase. Like, you know what? I may not be 6 feet tall, you know, El DeBarge type, but I am the perfect Nathan. You know, my mother always, you have such a pretty complexion. And I always wore like dark colors. And she was like, you have such a pretty complexion. You need to smile more. But as I started to grow into that person, that's when things started to change. So, you know, it's again, I may not be a 10 as far as how you rate it, but I am the 1. Because somebody's going to get this love. And it's important that I recognize that. Because if I don't believe it, no one else is going to believe it.
That is the dopest thing you could have said, because you have to have, you have to know, first of all, you got to know who you are. And if you don't love yourself, you don't love yourself, why are you looking for love in someone else? You have to first love your, you can't even love your neighbor if you don't love yourself. And not to the point of arrogance or selfishness or just I grew up having a big nose. All my life, I hated my nose. Like, but my nose ain't going nowhere. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
Yes, I have 30,
don't cut your nose off despite your face, right?
Right. But you are so stupid. But I had to learn to accept my flaws that I felt that was flaws to myself, right? I have a big nose, I have big lips and all that stuff. Now people paying for the lips. I'm like, dang.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, but I had to grow to love me and fall in love with myself. And when you do that, that's your confidence. And I feel like when you have that confidence, it does. I'm not 120 pounds. I'm a big girl. You know what I'm saying? But I'm comfortable. I want to be healthy, right? I want to be whole, right? And I think we need to focus on making sure that we're whole, like in everything, mind, body, and soul. If you lack in anything, you need to go get. If it means you may need to get some counseling, some help, some something, you need to do something so you can become whole, because you can't be good to somebody broken pieces. You can't. Because it's just going to be a broken hot mess. You know what I'm saying? A broken hot mess. And you can't build on sand. You have to build your foundation on solid rock. It is what it is. It's just the truth of the matter. If you don't build that foundation on the solid rock, it's going to, when the winds of life comes through, it's going to tear down, and it's built on the sand, it's going to tear down. But if you have something built on a solid foundation, when the storms of life come, you can still sustain. And I think that starts with friendship. You know, what do you say?
It does.
It has to start with friendship.
It starts with a friendship, and the reason that a friendship has to be your foundation that you stand on is because, like you said, when it gets tough, can I turn to you? Can I come to you with anything that's going on in my world? And are you going to nurture me, or are you going to criticize and ridicule me? And that's a lot of times it's like, that's why when people get into relationships, they come in and they say, you know, no, everything with me is perfect. So they're not telling you what baggage that they're bringing into the house. When you get into a relationship, it's like moving into a house. Everybody's bringing in baggage, but everybody's not opening it up. Some people are leaving stuff in the trunk of the car. They're putting stuff under the bed. They're not telling you about the abusive relationship that they may have been in previously, or, you know, different things that affect them. You know, like me, when I was married, one of the things I had problems opening up to with my ex-wife is the fact that she loved the movie The Color Purple. I couldn't stand the movie Color Purple. It wasn't that I didn't like the movie. It was the abuse that was in the movie. Having seen my mother go through that, it affects me. But I couldn't tell her that. I would just say, I don't want to watch the movie. So I wasn't being honest with her. She would always say, why do you want to watch this movie? And it would upset me because, having seen that firsthand, I don't want to watch this. I have no tolerance for watching it. It sets off something inside of me because that's somebody that I love.
Triggers.
It triggered me, but I didn't know how to tell her this. I just wanted her to know, no, I'm good. Because you don't want to tell somebody that's your mother or your parents, that's what you saw growing up as a kid, because maybe they may judge you for that. It took a real conversation. She and I had a real conversation. One of those, you know, tears, crying, no snot kind of nights. It took a lot out of me to explain that to her. And I was happy that she kept picking at that scab until it finally broke open. But you have to come to the conclusion that, you know what, I'm not perfect, and there are things that bother me. But if we're building a real relationship, I have to trust you with my life at times. And I have to be able to say, hey, listen, Makisha, this is what it is. This is me. This is what I've been through. And I hope you can accept that. And, you know, we can work on it and grow from there. So, with that being said, it's like, for me, there are four keys that I find, and maybe this may help some of the ladies who are listening. For me, there are four keys that I find for every relationship that can make it successful. If you take a circle and you cut it into fours, that's 25 per. That gives you an even set of 100. Even round of 100. So the four keys are, there's a physical attraction, a mental attraction, an emotional commitment, and a spiritual blessing. And if you can get at least 20% of each of those, because nobody can give you 100% of any of themselves, it's impossible. But if you can get at least 20% from each of those, you have a good chance, which is 80%, you have a great chance of your relationship succeeding. Because one part may fit. Yeah. The four are physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. You have to have those four. Because, like I said, if you can get at least 20% of a person from each of those, you'll succeed. Because one thing may outweigh another one. You know, we may have a great emotional connection, and the physical may be a little different. You know, maybe something is going on with me and I'm going through a change, but we have such an emotional connection. Maybe it's 40% of this is emotional. So we're going to make it. But if I can't talk to you about what's going on with me, you know, it's not going to work out. If all we have is great physical connection, this ain't going to go that far. You know, if we're not evenly yoked, if I pray over everything or through situations and you're looking at me constantly, why you always do that? That's going to be a problem.
That's a bit. That's enough.
And, you know, and then the physical, I know a lot of people don't want to admit to it, but you want to be physically attracted to the person that you're with. Because if
that's
you're not, you know, especially from a guy, you're going to have that wandering eye. You're sitting at the table and someone else walks by and your eye's wandering because you're not physically into it. It sounds shallow, but that's the reality. Women want to be physically attracted to the guy that they're with. They want to feel protected. It goes with the territory. So, you know, keep those things going, you got a good shot.
Mr. Todd, you said you had a poem. You have a poem. We're going to end it off with your poem for tonight. And
oh, you're going
like
to put
said,
me out there like that, right?
Yes!
Okay.
You got to end it with
okay.
your poem.
Okay,
all
right.
Like,
yeah.
Like it's all brand new to you today.
You know what? You're right. True that. You know.
I just blindsided you.
Nah, you caught me. You know what I'm saying? Hey, put the ball in my hands. 3 seconds on the clock. Got to shoot.
Yep. Go on through the three points.
Okay, cool. Now, this poem is called Pure of Heart, and it's from the book that I wrote, which is entitled Cantaloupe, which is the bearing of fruit of my soul. Because when you read this book, it's like I say, I've been writing these poems since I was 16. I think the first poem I ever wrote was to a girl in high school named Shannon. I was like, oh my God. But that's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother story. But, you know, I was like, oh my God. So that was probably the first poem I ever wrote. I think I've gotten a little better, you know, so we'll see. But anyway, the name of this poem, and I'm going to try to remember this verse, the heart. So the name of the poem is called Pure of Heart. And it goes, this love of mine is colorblind. It only allows me to see the light of God's heart within you. The love within me is boundless and will be with you throughout every step that puts space between us, because it's orderless, because I won't get funky on you when we disagree, because I'm going to work to cover you in his armor. A love as deep as the one grown within me needs a home in the touch of a woman who knows her strengths and doesn't exploit my weakness. See, all I've ever wanted was to be close to the love that God promised me, and I walked more than a few miles to be next to you. And with you holding my hand is where I'm going to stay. So if you would, please allow me to love you the way that the Father intended, honestly. Let me connect with you the way that the Son described it, as one. Give me the chance to feed you like the Holy Spirit, spiritually fulfilling your needs and desires. Take my love and bring me joy the same way that Anita serenaded my soul the first time that I saw you, because I'm right here as the greatest architect designed it. I'm here to love you every day, not just on sunny days. And on days when life storms get to be too much, lean on me and we'll plant a foundation on a steadfast rock. See, my love is undeniable. It's yours if you take hold of it.
All right, Mr. Todd.
There it is.
Thank you. Listen. I want to say thank you. You are one cool cat, I'm telling you.
Thank you for having me, Dumping Ground. I appreciate
your
time. And you know,
thank
I will
you
see
so
you
much.
Running around the office hopefully soon.
No office, virtual.
That too.
No.
But hey, listen, again, thank you for having me. And I love your platform.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Hopefully
mate.
Somebody got
you
something out of this. So again,
you blew up the box.
Hey, listen,
we
do what we can.
You did it, brother.
I love you and take care, all right?
Thanks, cheers. Have a good night, Mr. Nate. Take care, hon.
All right.
All right, Dr. Ground family, we blew up the series. Ladies, what is on your mind? I hope you take the information that you received tonight and it brings you some comfort and joy and plant some seeds in your heart. And the experience he has can help you build your purpose and vision for your life until 2021. Good night, Dr. Ground.